Our scripture this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I know the Lord will add significantly to the reading of his word.
Yes, good morning. Shall we begin with prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, we come before you because there is nowhere else to go. We are weak, and by our efforts, we can't control what will happen tomorrow. We can't even take our next breath without your help. But we know you, the author and finisher of our faith, and that is all we really need to know. Out of your love for us, give us what we need to hear. Give us a vision. Take us and guide us along the path to your kingdom, for nothing else is worthy of our hope and undying attention. Give us courage that we may not falter, for in the blessed name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We are here. We are here, right here, right now. If you think about it, this is an amazing thing. We have consciousness, provided to us by our Creator. It was a long time ago by our reckoning, but it was only the blink of an eye for our awesome God that he bent down, he condescended to form us from the dirt, and he breathed into us his spirit so that we might have life. We sense and interact with and manipulate our environment. We communicate with one another, and we are able to think and communicate about tangible things as well as intangible concepts. We have feelings with which we interact with one another and with our God. We are able to reproduce. But as wonderful as all these things are, we need to have answers to the abstract questions of life. How did I get here? Why am I here? What should I do while I'm here? Where am I going? In creating us after the divine pattern, we have been bestowed with a dignity, a value, a heritage, and a future that is nothing short of supernatural and incomprehensible. We are created just a little lower than the angels. God calls us his children, and he gave us responsibilities and useful work to do in each of our earthly spheres of life and influence, even as he has an essential work to do to maintain the universe. His work includes his continuous efforts to restore mankind. He created all things, and he has continued to maintain all things. Indeed, everything is his domain and must have his continuous attention. He loves us immeasurably and with a perfect love. And though he is perfect and complete, he yearns to have a loving relationship with each one of us. And on this side of heaven, he gives us a vision of a blessed future upon which we may anchor our hope, in the expectation of Eden restored on the earth and an end to the terrible things occurring here, things of our making. His providence will surely restore Eden, for he is God, and his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It is upon his unfailing promises and his love for us that we trust, and he will not fail us. The following is based on Acts chapter 17, 24 to 28. Ours is the God that made the world and all things therein. He is the Lord of heaven and earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he has made all, life and breath, and all things that they need. He hath made of one blood all nations of men, in order that they may dwell all over the earth. And he hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, for we are also his offspring. This is who and what we are, children of the King. God has spoken this through his prophets. No one should think to contradict this or to get in the way of his care of his children. We are well taken care of. To the faithful angels who rejoice always to do the will of God, the fact of God's goodness, mercy, and love for mankind is perfectly established in their minds, and they love him with all their being. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. May we not be lost for lack of knowledge. We live in a secular world that is at odds with the gospel, and this world has so many distractions, so that the truth, the reality of God, tends to be obscured. If this world were not so messed up, the name and the providence of God would be foremost among the people. For to know God is to love him and desire nothing else. The goodness of God is beyond our comprehension. In contrast, Satan was once an exalted holy being in the heavenly courts. He bore continual witness to the goodness of God, but he became disloyal, a transgressor of the law of Jehovah. He aimed to be the highest power in the universe. His sin is unexplainable. If it could be explained, there would be an excuse for sin. His deviance is called the mystery of iniquity. There is no cause for it. He had everything necessary to be perfectly satisfied, including being held in high esteem by all the heavenly host. Lucifer's fall from grace is astounding. Ezekiel 28:15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Satan was the light bearer. He shared God's glory in heaven, and he was next to Jesus in power and majesty. He is described as one who sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. The prophet declares, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Lucifer, son of the morning, was first of the covering cherubs, holy and undefiled. He stood in the presence of the great Creator, and the ceaseless beams of glory enshrouding the eternal God rested upon him. Little by little, Lucifer came to indulge the desire for self-exaltation. Though all his glory was from God, this mighty angel came to regard it as pointing to himself. Not content with his ordained position, though honored above the heavenly host, he ventured to covet homage due alone to the Creator. Instead of seeking to make God supreme in the affections and the allegiance of all created beings, it became his endeavor to secure their service and loyalty to himself. And coveting the glory with which the infinite Father had invested his Son, this Prince of Angels coveted the power that belonged to Christ alone. To dispute the supremacy of the Son of God, thus questioning the wisdom and love of the Creator, had become the purpose of this Prince of Angels. To this object he dedicated his intellect, which, next to Christ's, was the greatest among the heavenly host. God left none unguarded to the bewildering sophistry manifested by Satan. Before the great contest should begin, all were to have a clear presentation of God's will, whose wisdom and goodness were the spring of all their joy. God has been sorely misrepresented. Satan has credited God with all the evils known to man. He has represented him as a God who delights in the sufferings of his creatures, whose revenge will not be turned aside. It was Satan who originated the doctrine of eternal torment as a punishment for sin, because in this way he could lead men into infidelity and rebellion, distract souls, and confuse human reasoning. Heaven, looking down and seeing the delusions into which men were led, knew that a divine instructor must come to the earth. Through the misrepresentations of the enemy, many became deceived, that they worshipped a false god clothed with the attributes of the satanic character. Those in ignorance and moral darkness must have spiritual light, for the world did not know God. Truth looked down from heaven and saw dense clouds of spiritual darkness and gloom that enveloped the world. The Lord Jesus alone was able to roll back the clouds, for he is the light of the world. By his presence, he could dissipate the gloomy shadow that Satan had cast between men and God. Those who regard it as brave and manly to treat the claims of God upon them with indifference and contempt betray their folly and ignorance. While they boast of their freedom and independence, they are really in bondage to sin and Satan. But he who follows divine guidance has found the only true source of saving grace and real happiness, and has the power of giving happiness to all around him. No man can really enjoy life without religion. Love to God purifies and makes noble every taste and desire. It intensifies every affection and brightens every worthy pleasure. It enables men to appreciate and enjoy all that is true and good and beautiful. Such a man is really living. The great mystery of our existence is the mystery of iniquity. It is a mystery that iniquity and godliness even exist. We know that God offers us everything that is good, whereas our humanist efforts have created a world where nobody's happy. How can a person enjoy himself while others suffer? Do you know where this is? This is the coast at Gallipoli, Turkey. It looks like a nice place to visit. But on April 25, 1915, Australian and New Zealand soldiers landed here at Anzac Cove to capture the peninsula from the Turks. For most of the 16,000 soldiers who landed that day, it was their introduction to warfare. By nighttime, 2,000 of them had been killed or wounded. They faced artillery and landmines. Many units became separated. Turkish resistance remained strong. The Turkish forces were determined to stop the invasion to their homeland. The commander told his troops, "I don't order you to fight, I order you to die. By the time we're dead, others can take our places." And so the Turks regained much of the ground they had lost at the very start, and for the next 8 months they held their ground, so that by January the next year, all the Allied troops, including Britain and France, had withdrawn. Some 125,000 men died, comprised of more than 80,000 Ottoman Turks, 44,000 Allied soldiers, 8,500 Australians, and 2,700 New Zealanders. But this was only a small part of the Great War, and these figures paled in comparison with the casualties in France and Belgium. So this is man's horrific, ultimate solution to our disputes, not to mention the other things we've created on Earth that threaten us, plus the things that we've done to the environment that they say threaten our very existence. Men wage wars and commit atrocities. But we tell our children, now Johnny, give the truck back to Timmy. It's his turn to play with it. This is a commemorative button for that campaign, lest we forget. No, we should not forget. But we all need to learn that it is God who has the real answers to our problems. And all men, whether they acknowledge God or not, can thank him for holding back the winds of strife that allows them to continue to live. Paul describes the anguish. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul is really down on himself, isn't he? But it's a good thing. It's a marvelous thing that our Father does not regard us as we see ourselves. He looks past the present and knows what we may become. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is an exercise of faith. Indeed, it is a good fight of faith to put your hopes in the promises of God and to test him, perhaps for the first time, to prove to yourselves if he really responds to your call for help. Yes, he means even you. We are not alike. We know that our upbringing has a big influence on who we become as adults, such that sometimes, even when we are determined to do right, it may be very difficult for us. And when we look at other people's lives, they seem to be managing a lot better than we are. I'm just saying that some of us have had less than ideal childhoods, so it wouldn't be a surprise if we had a tougher battle with self. But then, nobody gets through this life without scars. The heritage of a spoiled child. I'm familiar with that. I think I was spoiled, and I'm here to say that it's not good to give a child the idea that the world owes him something. It's not realistic, and if everybody feels that way, well, you can see we have a problem. It's not how the world operates. It is impossible to tell all the evil that comes from allowing a child to do whatever he wants. Some will come to their senses by the school of hard knocks, but many are lost forever because they were spoiled. Such a person will have a heavy burden to carry throughout their life. When he has difficulties, disappointments, or when he is tempted, he will follow his undisciplined, misdirected will. Children who have never learned to obey will be weak and impulsive. They want to rule, but they have not learned how to submit. They are without moral strength to restrain their tempers, to control their bad habits, or to control their willfulness. Their perverted thoughts can hardly tell the difference between what is true or false. Society is cursed by defective characters. Oh, when will parents get wise? When will they realize the mistake they're making by neglecting to require obedience and respect according to God's word? The results of this lack of training are seen in the next generation. Their defective traits have control, and they transmit to others the wrong tastes, habits, and tempers from their own characters. Thus, they become a curse instead of a blessing to society. The wickedness which exists in the world today may be traced to the neglect of parents to discipline themselves and their children. Thousands upon thousands of Satan's victims are what they are because of the injudicious way they were managed during their childhood. The stern rebuke of God is upon this. And people wonder, what happened to this generation? It's no mystery, is it? I would call your attention to the precious promises in the Word of God. All who are children of God do not have the same abilities, the same temperaments, or the same confidence. I am glad that our feelings about ourselves do not change the fact that we are children of God. The enemy will tempt you to think that you have done things that have separated you from God and that he no longer loves you. But our God loves us still. And for you, he wrote, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God loves you. And the precious Savior who gave himself for you will not push you away because you are tempted and were overcome. He still loves you. Peter denied his Lord in the hour of trial, but Jesus did not forsake his poor disciple. Although Peter hated himself, the Lord loved him. And after his resurrection, he called him by name and sent him a loving message. What a kind, loving, compassionate Savior we have. I hope we can all imagine having children that, even though they don't do what we want, that we would still love them no matter what. We're always hopeful. God's love is unchanging. God's love is fundamental to the operation of the universe. He cannot change. I think we all know how hard it can be to say that we're sorry or that we've made a mistake again. But we know that God is glad to hear from us, and he won't remind us of how many mistakes we've made. But he's just waiting to hear from each one of us. If you are in real danger, and we really are in real danger from the adversary of our souls, but if you're really in danger, I don't think you're going to think twice before you call 911. Well, God offers the ultimate insurance policy. If you're signed up with him, even if you die, he will guarantee your resurrection in the next life. You're not just in good hands. You're in the best hands. The purpose of life. I would like to finish with this quotation. What should lead us to prize the Bible is that in it is revealed to men the will of God. Here we learn the object of our creation and the means by which that object may be attained. We learn how to improve wisely the present life and how to secure the future life. No other book can satisfy the questionings of the mind or the cravings of the heart. By obtaining a knowledge of God's word and giving heed thereto, men may rise from the lowest depths of degradation to become the sons of God, the associates of sinless angels. This is the answer for all of mankind, all of our social projects, and all our problems. In the varied scenes of nature are lessons of divine wisdom for all who commune with God. The pages that opened in undimmed brightness to the first pair in Eden bear now a shadow. A blight has fallen upon the fair creation. And yet, wherever we turn are traces of the primal loveliness. Wherever we turn, we hear the voice of God and behold his handiwork. From the solemn roll of the deep thunder and old ocean's ceaseless roar, to the glad songs that make the forests vocal with melody, nature's 10,000 voices speak his praise. In earth and air and sky, with their marvelous tint and color, varying in gorgeous contrast, or softly blended in harmony, we behold his glory. The everlasting hills tell of his power. The trees wave their green banners in the sunlight and point us upward to their Creator. The flowers that gem the earth with their beauty whisper to us of Eden and fill us with longings for its unfading loveliness. The living green that carpets the brown earth tell us of God's care for the humblest of his creatures. The caves of the sea and the depths of the earth reveal his treasures. He who placed the pearls in the ocean and the amethyst and chrysolite among the rocks is a lover of the beautiful. The sun rising in the heavens is a representative of him who is the light and life of all that he has made. All the brightness and beauty that adorns the earth and lights up the heavens speaks of God. Shall we, in the enjoyment of the gifts, forget the giver? Let his blessings lead us to contemplate his goodness and his love. Let all that is beautiful in our earthly home remind us of the crystal river and green fields, the waving trees and the living fountains, the shining city and the white-robed singers of our heavenly home. That world of beauty which no artist can picture, no mortal tongue describe, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. To dwell forever in this home of the blessed, to bear in soul, body, and spirit, not the dark traces of sin and the curse, but the perfect likeness of our Creator, and through ceaseless ages to advance in wisdom, in knowledge, and holiness, ever exploring new fields of thought, ever finding new wonders and new glories, ever increasing in our capacity to know and to enjoy and to love, and knowing that there is still infinite joy and love and wisdom. Such is the object of the Christian hope, and for which Christian education is preparing us. To secure this education and to aid others should be the object of the Christian life. A clear concept of what God is and what he requires us to be will lead us to humility. He who studies rightly the sacred word will learn that human intellect is not omnipotent. He will learn that without the help which only God can give, human strength and wisdom are but weakness and ignorance. Shall we pray? Father, we are almost speechless. Please continue to take care of us. May we be drawn closer to you so that your work for each one of us will not have been in vain. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.